Did you guys know that a shark coughed up a guy's arm? This is a true story. In the 1930s, a tiger shark at Coogee Aquarium vomited up Jim Smith's arm before a crowd of very confused and perplexed onlookers. What followed was an investigation filled with bizarre twists and turns that remains unsolved to this day. This is a very unusual story has now been turned into an immersive murder mystery experience at the Justice and Police Museum in Circular Quay. And here to tell us all about it is the executive producer and director of the play, Liviu Monsted. Welcome, Liviu.
Hi, thanks for having me. That was a great summation of the story. Yeah, it's a really fascinating tale. And the first time I ever heard of it was, you know, did you hear that a shark coughed up an arm? And I'm like, really? And everyone kind of gets hooked onto that one singular moment. And it's such a great kind of starting point to what is one of Sydney's longest cold cases that's still going, still a mystery to this day, I should say.
Well, that's very exciting. So what in particular, obviously, shark coughing up a human arm is pretty catchy, but what really brought you in to decide, I'm going to do a play about this, I'm going to do a production?
Well, we always look at, you know, the real humans involved in these true crimes and emotionally what was happening to them at the time, what are the complexities of the power dynamics of the people at the time. A lot of crook things were happening in 1935 Sydney, especially near the docklands, the dockyard and whatnot. And what we were interested in was really the cops and their pursuit of trying to find out what happened with the arm, but it also leads onto a larger case around insurance fraud schemes that were happening around the docklands at that point. And the main detective, Matthews, he was someone who had a case that he was close to solving and ended up kind of, it slipped away from him. And when this arm appeared, he realized, hang on, I think this arm is related to this case that I lost a few months ago. I'm going to tie the two together. And he was pretty sure that it was the same person that was involved in both of these situations. A ship called the Pathfinder was sunk, and he thought he knew that had been done on purpose for an insurance fraud. The person who was involved in the Pathfinder, that's the person whose arm it is that they found. And they know it was his arm, Jim Smith's arm, because Jim Smith was a boxer and he had a very distinct tattoo on his arm of two boxers. Actually, really funny is we actually got a real tattoo artist to put the tattoo of the two boxers on our fake prosthetic corpse arm that you will see in the show. And he was a young tattoo artist. And, you know, we said, we're doing this show about shark arm. He's like, I know about that. You want that tattoo, don't you? And so even to this day, certain elements of the story still kind of remain present. And even young people know about it and get excited about it. And he was like, yeah, people in the tattoo world know about this tattoo because it's so, like, prominent in this narrative. And it's a cool tattoo.
That's so amazing. That is such an unusual tattoo to, I guess, come by. And it's so cool that you actually went and you've really gotten into the production, like full prosthetic arm with a professional tattoo on it. That's amazing. But going back a little bit to what we're talking about earlier, this was still a real person. How do you balance basically the seriousness of someone passed away with an entertaining production and looking at like this fascinating true crime story, being respectful, essentially? How do you balance all of that?
Well, it's in the respect that you find the entertainment. I mean, people are interested in psychology. You see it all the time. You see it in these Netflix true crimes about Dharma and whatnot. These are, you know, there can be horrendous people that we tell stories about, but we are fascinated in why they do the things that they do. And when you dramatize it, especially the way we do, where audiences are mere centimeters away from the action, I mean, you're literally right there sitting in the same room as these characters that sit mere centimeters away from you going through these moments. that's where you find the humanity. And like Deadhouse has been very good at finding these human moments where you do feel empathy for some characters and you do feel shocked by what other characters do. The main character, Detective Matthews, his pursuit to try and solve this case, you know, gets him to do some pretty dodgy things as a cop. And so I said to the writer, you know, in many ways, this is like a fable because we really do see the fall of a detective and how far he goes and the quite atrocious things that he does to certain witnesses throughout the case just so he can get, you know, respect in the industry and get his name on the ballot as someone who solved the case that he couldn't solve before. So
a little bit of a flawed character there, possibly doesn't have the best intentions at heart.
Yeah, for sure. He's certainly someone who is driven to get the answers at all costs, and it really does make him do terrible things. But he is fascinating as a character because of that. And then you see as well these other characters. There's a whole bunch of wives within the show whose husbands all do very crook things. And it's a great line that Kyla, the writer, wrote where, you know, she says, you marry the husband, you marry the business. And I was really interested in showcasing these three wives and how they deal with kind of sidelining the terrible things their husband's doing, maybe overlooking what their husbands are doing. They either can't accept that their husbands do crook things, or they don't know that their husbands have done crook things, or they do know, but they realise the benefits financially for them in kind of supporting them, but not necessarily, you know, going out on the street and shouting about it. So it's interesting seeing the psychology of these women and how they engage with their crook husbands as well.
That's definitely something you do not want to brag about.
Yeah.
So you're holding it in this production in the Police and Justice Museum in Circular Quay. That's such a fascinating location. Got some great history there. What's it like setting up a production in such a unique space?
It's an extraordinary space. You get some really intimate spaces, you know, with a fireplace and a table and chairs, and you feel like you're back in the year of 1935 with these two people having a conversation, you're centimetres away. And then another scene, you're literally going to be in a courtroom and you're looking at the inquest of Jim Smith and them working out what to do about his arm and whether it even is his arm. And so you sit in an actual courtroom as these court proceedings take place. So we went from location to location within the Justice and Police Museum, and each different location sets about these different scenes and vignettes that kind of tell the tale and tie things together.
That sounds great. So I have to ask you, who do you think killed Jim Smith? Can you tell us, or is it going to spoil it?
Well, the play does lean quite heavily into the most common theory, and I won't spoil who that is. Come see the show if you want to know who the main culprit people think are behind it. He is a fascinating character, a kind of puppet master that you rarely see, but he has an incredible presence, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he really was the person behind all the events that took place.